As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today.
Shot! Scope! No! Yes! Scores! No! Now they're waving it off!
They're saying it maybe went the outside of the net.
Now the red light went on.
Which means nothing.
The official waved it off, but Kessel, who was right down by the net.
Well, that's the goal that wasn't. Of course, Jim Ralph giving props to the importance of the goal judge there. The light going on or off means nothing, but it was not a goal. Hoping to cut the margin for the Maple Leafs in the third period of play to make it 4-3, but that didn't happen. Ultimately, a 6-2 win for the Washington Capitals over the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first game of the post-Randy Carlyle era, the first home game of 2015, as we welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Leafs Radio Network, and at a quickly deserted Air Canada Centre on a very bone-chilling night here in Toronto, and early on in at ACC as well. We'll open our phone lines up. Welcome your calls at 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. We'll cut to Peter Horacek, his first postgame press conference as the new interim head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll hear from many of the principals involved in tonight's game. And we'll start with our man, Mark Osborne, about a game that really started with a lack of, I don't know, lack of excitement, of energy, a lack of a lot of things.
Gordy, that's exactly what transpired here in the building. You mentioned it being so quiet here, and obviously with a coaching change, I would have expected a little bit more emotion from the Maple Leaf players in general. I think they tried, certainly in that first period, and played a more defensive type of game. But at the end of the night, when I think the only consolation that you can take out of this game is you held the opposition under 30 shots, the Leafs out shooting the Capitals 33-26. But again, things that we saw consistently over the course of the last little while, breakdowns, defensive zone, which I thought was improved. But again, energy level, and I would say, where is the passion and at least a little bit of the pushback? Because the coach, if you tuned him out, he's no longer here. And yet collectively, a group, maybe the defensive effort was a little bit better. And yet, collectively as a team, it still looks like something is missing with a group that claims that there's great chemistry within that dressing room.
Well, and certainly, and we want to talk about, there's a lot of things that we'll chat about. We'll go over the goals again. Of course, the shorthanded goal was the killer that basically that was all she wrote. The Maple Leafs tie it up 1-1, and shorthanded goals, I found huge momentum changers, and hey, they'll happen in the game, but we pick apart, I find too often, Ozzy, you do pick apart breakdowns and goals against. It's just human nature. But in this one, there just were some really glaring ones, and the lack of compete and the lack of smarts.
Yeah, and oftentimes, Gord, I think that what ends up occurring or happening.
Yeah, we'll put you back on the other one. Looks like you have the right one there. It's like a pit crew getting Mark Osborne already. Jimmy Ralph, I think, played with that one. I think something's
I don't know. I'm rattled here. Okay. And also, apologies on that perspective.
Okay.
But one of the things, too, Gordon, and I mentioned this to you before the start of the game, is this was a perfect scenario, I thought, for the Washington Capitals, who under Barry Trotz over the last month have become a very good defensive team. I think they're learning how to manage the puck, and I pointed out certainly in the third period, watch the difference between the Capitals, a collective group of five in their own end of the ice compared to the Maple Leafs. Puck support, they cut the ice in half. I saw one shift where Joel Ward is a right winger, picture this, and he ended up supporting all the way to the far boards there to make sure the puck gets out, and that's just all about playing and helping and supporting the teammate and overloading defensively, something the Leafs continue to struggle with. So at the end of the day, is there a lot to build upon. I'm really not sure. It's, again, put back onto the players to collectively somehow get things together. I thought the line combinations were a little bit all over the place, and I certainly know what that's like when you're trying to find the right mix. And, yes, Leupel's out of the lineup. Peter Holland is out of the lineup. But, again, it just seemed a group that is very, very fragile. The crowd was, you know, eerily silent tonight. I don't know if the players were just, you know, sitting on pins and needles waiting for things to boo or the fans to start to boo. There was little of that. And so it was a very, I would say, neutral crowd per se.
Well, and I get, you know, I got picky about Snubgate, and I was saying before the game, and again, finding out for people that were at the game, for some reason, the lineups were long for security reasons. I don't quite get why on the coldest night going. So people were arriving late. They were held up in lines, and they would have been freezing when they came in here. I even thought, and maybe I'm being picky, but when they saluted the two Canadian World Junior champions, two members of that hockey team, I saw the Washington bench explode more than the Toronto bench as far as, you know, offering applause or support. I'm being picky, but that was one of my observations that way. I think it did change in the second period. We got a little bit of life in the building.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right. I mean, that's something I think maybe we can be indifferent about, but yet we're watching this team so carefully now, every single move, every single reaction and things that are going on. But yes, it was quite evident that when Max Domi and Robbie Fabry were introduced as, you know, two Canadian players that got the gold medal for the World Juniors, that the entire Capitol bench was up, tapping their sticks along the boards, and only half the Maple Leaf players. And, of course, I mean, you don't expect an American like Phil Kessel to be cheering the Canadians on, but in general, you saw Alexander Ovechkin. Like, why would he be tapping his stick for Team Canada when his Russian junior team ended up losing? But again, that was a show of, I think, appreciation and class for these young kids that poured their hearts out and won a gold medal. Why wouldn't you at least acknowledge it in some way, which the Capitals did?
That's something I said before the puck dropped, so it's not something I'm saying after the 6-2 game.
But that is what you're leading with. That is a function or a challenge of the character of this particular group in general, a very fragile group at the moment.
Well, it's calling in 870-0590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590 on Leafs Nation postgame. I'm hoping it is warmer in Nashville. Steve joining us from Nashville. Hey, Steve.
It's not too much warmer, guys. It's pretty cold everywhere. You know, it's one of the things you can't get away from.
Okay, misery loves company. Good.
Let me give you my take on the last 3 days and this game. Dave Nonis in the press conference, he says, we know these guys can do it. And I was like, really? I don't know if I would have said that. And his two examples were a win in overtime against the Boston Bruins and a 3-1 loss to the Minnesota Wild. And I don't know if those are acceptable examples of this team can play the kind of style that he claims they want them to play. And tonight, what do we see? This is now, if you go back and look at the resumes of the coaches that are getting fired by this Toronto Maple Leaf team in the last 5 or 6 years, you guys have some pretty good resumes. Say what you will about Ron Wilson, say what you will about Paul Maurice and Randy Carlyle. You guys have had success winning in the National Hockey League. And we're still seeing that first goal tonight. Kadri and Kessel are both at the blue line, and there's goal one. And the thing you can say about Barry Trotz and Alexander Ovechkin, watching him pretty closely tonight, pretty much the entire game, for a guy that was the classic floater in the NHL for the last 3 or 4 years, he was back in their own end. Again, not going to win a Selke, but that team in Washington, at least they seem to have some intensity to them. This Leafs team just seems to have this laissez-faire attitude that is just hard to imagine. And my question for you guys is Dave Nonis literally just this naive, or can he just not say the truth? Because it seems like we're not getting a lot of that from him.
Well, okay, appreciate the call as always, Steve, and I hope it gets warmer there and warmer here as well. But Ozzie, obviously want you to weigh in, but I'm using Dave Nonis's point of view, being the general manager, is you have to give a best case scenario, and you've got to believe. And certainly there's a lot of, hey, you know, right now we're thinking like there's been no good games, no good efforts, everything's been terrible, and he's picking two more recent games and probably the best of the game since Christmas, a couple of the better ones, and that's not that certainly is something the Leafs can do. Can they do it all 82 games? Obviously, they've already obviously not. They've already shown they can't. Nor can most teams. So I don't know what else he was really supposed to say. He used the word "we" a lot, which shows me that Brendan Shanahan's obviously involved in making decisions. He didn't use the "I," which quite often a general manager will use. But aside from that, it's how many press conferences have been similar?
Well, here's a couple of things, Gord. And I think in fairness to Dave Nonis is that he recognizes that he needs to draw on some form of the positives for this hockey club.
Absolutely.
Over the last number of weeks. So what's the point of again, getting this team to focus on some of the things that they haven't done well or challenging them, in the press or publicly of their compete level or any of the other things that we're talking about. He obviously chose to stay on the positive. Now, further to the Dave Nonis thing, and I'm just speaking for myself, as far as the optics of Dave Nonis addressing the media like he did yesterday, for me, he is the general manager, and yet absently and silent has been Brendan through this whole entire thing, which I look at the decision that was made is it's just unusual the way that it was all handled and communicated.
Well, and maybe now that becomes, you have to look at, is there a dysfunctionalness about that setup here once you don't start winning? If Dave Nonis is the general manager, who isn't? And I certainly knew what that was like way back in the 1980s. I do want to bring on, we've got Chris on the line now. Chris, you were at the game today, so curious. We were, Ozzie and I, offering our opinions from a rather unusual and we thought lackluster environment. I mean, welcome to Leafs Nation postgame, and tell me your thoughts.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was at the game tonight. I was hearing you guys talking about the Domi and the Washington bench, the Leafs bench, and I just couldn't believe it at all. It just frustrates me that, with Domi... I don't know. As a Leaf fan, I'm sorry. I'm so frustrated. I hear, Carlisle's out. There's no emotion. The Leaf fans, there's no emotion with the Leaf fans. It was dead in there the whole night. You can't even get goalies to go. And then you blame it on Carlisle, and then everything's on. I'm just frustrated. I don't know what to do anymore. When you look at it that way, what else is there for us fans? The fans are not even in there. And then forget the fact that the Leaf fans aren't going. You've seen what the Team Canada fans or the Canadian fans, we love the game, everybody went nuts. And half the Leafs didn't even appear to be happy for that. And I know Kessel's American, but let's not forget, we're Toronto Maple Leafs, and we pay them a lot of money to support our team in our country. And you're not getting that feedback.
Yeah, well, so, first of all, as fans, they're there. So that's number one. That's a big thing. They show up through thick and thin, and that's a big thing as far as the support goes. I think, Ozzie, and appreciate the call there, Chris, it was an eye-opener, this World Junior Tournament, about what this building can do for hockey. Mm-hmm. And how somehow, and let's put the 6-2 loss and the Leafs struggling right now a bit aside, but in general, let's face it, when the Bruins were here in the playoffs, we keep using that always as a watershed. It wasn't a problem getting electricity in the building. But anyway, that's another note we make about
But, the expectation of Chris being in the building tonight is, as a Leaf fan, with what just transpired the last couple of days, you would have at least expected a little bit more effort from this team in general, some form of emotion. Dion Phaneuf challenged by Ovechkin here in the second period. They spar. I give Dion a little bit of credit for sparring, but he gets knocked down by Alexander Ovechkin. And then after that, was there any confrontation with, again, that's a little example that happened, during the course of that game. David Clarkson was doing his best, I think, to agitate at times there. And yet he got run at one point at the Tim Hortons there down to our left over here, and he did not respond to do anything about it. So that kind of speaks volumes for me as I'm looking for some pushback from these guys to at least show and display some galvanizing type of emotion. And it was very, very quiet in general. And I would agree with Chris, the rink and the fans, I think, are just are waiting and watching, and I'm not sure how they want to react. I think they're being very apologetic as far as their response.
John in Toronto. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you?
Good. If you can turn the radio down, please, and go ahead, okay?
Yeah. So I just wanted to say that I just don't think that it's a matter of coaching here. Maybe they could have prolonged the firing of Randy Carlisle. It was inevitable, though, but I think it just goes to the players on the ice. Those guys don't really look motivated to play right now. And this is a team that's been reluctant to a culture change, which kind of worries me. And there's a lot of issues with personnel and with whoever and the players on that team as well. And just goes to show that maybe Brian Burke was pretty smart when it came to not handing out 7-year deals, because they've known us to give out two of them that look really, really bad right now.
You're talking about Kessel and Phaneuf?
I'm talking about Phaneuf and Clarkson.
Okay. Anyway,
but Kessel's a guy that you have to give a long-term deal to. He's a superstar, and those guys are going to warrant those type of deals.
Yeah, well, and you didn't bring up Kessel, but in Phaneuf's case as well, I mean, those guys get what the market will bear. Clarkson, you know, that's the one point Ron Wilson made. I don't agree with Ron Wilson coming piling on at this point and adding fuel to the fire, but he did mention his frustration. He said about free agents, he used Tim Connolly as an example. He threw David Clarkson in now about feeling that, you know, that they too often go out and get a free agent. Now, David Clarkson left more money on the table from the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, David Clarkson got what the market will bear. He hit free agency at the right time. And I think a lot of us were keen about him coming over here. I certainly was. I drink the Kool-Aid that way. But yeah, he hasn't panned out the way you would have hoped the contract would, and more importantly, just these recent games, Ozzie.
Yeah, you know what, and when you come down to free agency, Gord, I mean, you're in the mix with 29 other teams, and, you know, the free agents are basically limited as far as what's out there and what's available. I mean, you're adding to your group as best you can. I mean, you're not building your team around free agents, and, you know, at the end of the day, the core group of these of this team in particular is built upon the foundation of Dion Phaneuf and Phil Kessel. And so there's your core group that you're trying to build around, and we move from there.
So, Mary, hang on the line there, and others will go down here. Peter's here, Leaf interim head coach Peter Horacek.
Of course, you wanted to win in your first game, but how do you feel the evening progressed?
Well, you know, there's always disappointment when we lose like that. So there were some good things. We outchanced them. Our possession numbers were better. We outshot them, but we gave up some poor, timely goals. The shorthanded goal was bad, but the fourth goal was a real breaker. Right after we scored that goal, we might have had some momentum back on our side. And if you take away those two goals, right then it's 2-2, and we're in the game. So we've got to eliminate those issues where we're making things happen to ourselves. But we did a lot of things that we wanted to do, and sometimes it's just going to be harder at first than we want it to be to get back into the win column. So we're going to get back to work, and we're just going to continue to push and say, listen, these are some of the areas. There's some areas where I thought we stopped working, some areas where guys let up, and we can fix that. So, you know, there's a lot of positive things, but at the end of the day, you know, it's the win column that matters.
How will you plot progress in the short term? How will you plot progress? What do you want to
see? Well, I mean, obviously, there's the things I just mentioned. They outchanced them. They had 12 chances. There's the games where we were giving up 40 shots and they're getting 25, 26 chances. So they had 12. Our possession time that we chart and take care of and look at that, our numbers were better than theirs. But there's still a game to play when you look off all those stats and the analytics and different things. There's still a game that plays inside. And we gave up goals that were untimely and unnecessary. And so we can eliminate those things, which is the positive thing. And, you know, I feel like the guys were in a good frame of mind going into it. They seemed to be pretty jazzed up. I think you can see the start of the game that looked like they were pretty tight. And they either nervous or tight or whatever the reason is, but I felt like we weren't moving our feet early in the game, and we did some good things in the low recoveries or breakouts, if you will, but then we kind of mishandled pucks and turned pucks over early in the period, which kind of kept the momentum on their side, but they still didn't capitalize in a lot of areas where, you know, I thought that we could have been better, and I think that we can continue going in that direction.
One of the Washington players told me the biggest difference under Trotz is that they've had to learn to play five-man system in the defensive zone.
Yeah.
You obviously worked with Barry.
Yeah.
Is that going to be something that you'll incorporate into your group?
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's what we used to call 5-5-5, and we want five guys in this defensive zone, in the neutral zone, and in the offensive zone. It's all connected, and we believe that that's the way it has to be. And We made some adjustments in practice the other day. We talked about it. Those weren't the areas that hurt us. It was, you know, the shorthanded goal where we changed and we didn't track back hard. We kind of let up on that. And those things, you know, those are the things that we say, hey, that should never, ever happen. But it did happen and it hurt us and it was untimely. And, you know, the fourth goal right after we scored. I mean, those are, again, were situations where we had possession of the puck on the wall. We misplayed it. We left the zone. They came back in. And they took advantage of the situation. We can correct that as well. Those were goals that hurt us and, you know, put us in a situation where we were too far for us to come back. I mean, they're obviously a good team as well, but, you know, I thought that at that point, a 2-2 game would have kept our get our legs going, got ourselves going a little bit. But, you know, their shots were down. We wanted to make sure that they weren't getting the 40 shots. Obviously, that's an area where we wanted to be. The chances, we didn't want to give up high numbers of chances, and giving up 12 against a team like that is going in the right direction.
Coach, it seemed like Phil Kessel, there's a lot of criticism aimed at Phil Kessel the last couple of days. How's he handling it in the room? Is he kind of bearing that criticism, feeling the weight of the world on him, that he's got something to prove?
You know, I think that you guys put a lot of pressure on the guys all the time. I mean, that's what you like to do. So they all know when they're in this environment that that's part of the, goes with it. That's part of it. So, you know, they lose their cool sometimes, and, you know, we have to remind them that that's not the best way to handle it, and we have to move forward in a positive way. And you've got to, you know, internalize it with your teammates, and you've got to keep it inside so you can handle this and not let it affect you in a negative way. But, you know, he the next day I had a good talk with him after that, and I think that he seemed to be in a good frame of mind going into it.
Thanks, Coach.
Well, Toronto Maple Leaf head coach, interim head coach, Peter Horachuk, a little bit different. They said, thanks, Coach, but then he's hanging in there. But
doing personal one-on-ones there at the podium.
Yeah, they've lost the feeder. You know what? Let's come back. Let's take a break. Interesting his comments, and let's talk about it after a 6-2 loss for the Washington Capitals, 6-2 win for the Washington Capitals against the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll come back with more of Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
It in, but the net empty, and here's Ovechkin shooting it into the middle of the net. Alex Ovechkin will get the empty netter, and the Maple Leafs are going to drop this one 6-2.
Well, Joe Bowen doesn't. He scales it down for an empty netter. Got to say, he scales it down. You got to earn the real goals to get the Joe Bowen call. That was Alexander Ovechkin's 20th of the season. The empty netter that the nail was already in the coffin. This just made it 6-2. Which was the final for the Washington Capitals over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. We're endeavoring to get a hold of Chris Johnson. We'll chat with him. But Peter Horachuk, what'd you get out of the head coach quickly, Ozzie?
Well, you know what? One of the things, I mean, again, he decided to accentuate some of the positives. They claim that they outchance the Capitals, they only gave up 12 chances against. He goes, some nights when we're giving up 40-plus shots, we're probably giving up twice as many chances. So again, two bad goals against. I think he says we can clean those up. And so let's stay tuned as this team continues to move ahead with the new coaching staff.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. He was very accommodating to the media. Chris Johnson, of course, covering the Leafs in the NHL for Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. I don't know what you felt about Peter Horachuk's comments, but maybe talk about the first game of the post-Randy Carlyle era and imprint you might see so far from the new coach.
Well, I mean, it almost feels a little too soon to tell that, but you know, I understand why he is pushing some of the positives because, you know, the number one issue, as we all know, that the Leafs are trying to address in the short term is limiting the number of scoring opportunities. And even though this is a night where they lose by four goals and, you know, did make some individual mistakes. I think that there's reason to be encouraged that they did keep the shot counts down. It's something they were completely unable to do the last 10 games of Randy Carlyle's tenure, which, you know, I don't place entirely on the coach, but it is about finding that commitment. And you know, I think it's going to be the balance the Leafs really face under Peter Horchek, is that they want to keep that down, but they're also going to have to keep scoring. And, you know, there's a balance to be struck there. And I think that that's going to be the toughest thing for them to find here as they go forward under a new voice.
Chris, were your expectations a little bit similar to mine as far as what I thought would be more energy or emotion out of this particular group? You got Kadri coming back. You've got Lupul and Holland out of the lineup. But, you know, generally speaking, with the change that has occurred, did you expect more just from an emotional standpoint from this group?
Yeah, I certainly did. But, you know, I can understand where it comes in. I mean, let's face it, it's been a trying couple days, and I really do think we can't overstate how much emphasis has been placed on them to play defensively. And, you know, that first period was probably a boring period if you're talking about it from an entertainment standpoint. And, you know, even though the Leafs fell behind 1-0 on, you know, a pretty nice shot by Marcus Johansson, you know, I thought that was kind of the game that the coaching staff would like to see, that the Leafs, you know, held their structure pretty well. They were clearing the zone efficiently, and other than a power play where Washington generated a couple shots on goal, I thought that is kind of how he wants them to play. I mean, I think that you know, sometimes what we equate emotion and energy is entertainment, and I think quite frankly what the Leafs are trying to do is take some of the entertainment away. We've seen them score a lot of goals and give up a lot of goals, and what they're trying to find now is just a more consistent, simple, understated game, and I think they're finding their way, and that you know, at least to me, is maybe one reason why we didn't see them running all over the ice and throwing big hits and trying to show that emotion, because I think they're really trying to stay within themselves.
The building did try to get going a couple of times, but both times was met by a quick goal against, and he pointed them out. Peter Horchek did that shorthanded goal, which was the second goal, was a killer, particularly the breakdowns there. And same thing with the fourth goal, where you saw a flyby by Nazem Kadri, who I thought played pretty well, but just that old thing, anxious to get out of the zone, and his guys ultimately gets the puck in the net.
Right, and you have that 42 seconds after you get it back to 3-2. Late in the second period, I mean, that was a killer. You know, it really was. And you know, it was, as Peter Horchek put it, an untimely and unnecessary goal that did them in here. I mean, honestly, it's funny because it's a 6-2 game. You had another game decided by three or more goals. But, you know, I really felt like the Leafs held their own in a lot of areas tonight. It's just, you know, those giveaways, a couple of really nice shots on the Washington goals. We saw, you know, a bad bounce on the third goal that went off Cody Franzen's stick in front and basically fooled Jonathan Bernier entirely. But you know, I do think that there will be some positives here, and you know, everyone's just trying to move forward. I mean, the Leafs have been leaking oil now for a little while. Obviously, part of this coaching change is made to try to turn things around, and you know, that's what they're going to have to do against Columbus, because after that, it's three games in California and then another one in St. Louis, which is obviously a tough stretch of schedule ahead.
Chris, as far as the Capitals go, and I was telling Gordy this, that I felt this was going to be a real good matchup for the Capitals, with the fact is that the Leafs have made this coaching change. And I just want you to comment on your thoughts on Barry Trotz and this particular Washington Capitals team, which has, I think, had a good real run this last month and change since they were here last time. They've tightened things up defensively. And, again, we've got to give credit to the Washington Capitals, because they don't give up a lot either, and that has to contribute to the way that the game played out also.
Well, I mean, if you're a Leafs fan, you look at the Capitals and hope that the Leafs are able to mimic what they've been able to do there. I mean, Barry Trotz and Peter Horchek, of course, spent 9 years together, you know, with the Nashville Predators. I think they teach a lot of the same system, and really they're trying to accomplish the same thing. I mean, when Barry Trotz showed up in the summer, you know, that they had Alex Ovechkin, who was basically their version of Phil Kessel in terms of, you know, a lot of talk about his offensive ability, but seeming inability to play defensively, and if they could ever get the Capitals to play a more structured game, and you're beginning to see that now. I mean, right now they're literally basically one of the hottest teams in the NHL. Unfortunately, if you're a Leafs fan, Columbus is also in that same boat right now, and I think they've got 12 wins in the last 15 games. Columbus does, and it's 11-15, I believe, for the Caps. So, you know, there's some hope there, and I think really the challenges are very similar to what Barry Trotz did in the first half of the season with the Capitals and what Peter Horchak's going to have to try to do here in the second half in Toronto.
Chris, again, you know, and Peter talked about, and Ozzie will talk about it more, about obviously trying to implement a certain style, like we've seen Trotz do rather effectively with the Washington Capitals. I thought Kessel and Phaneuf, I thought they both played well tonight. I mean, I thought they were among the two guys that played well. But to pick out two individuals that, not just tonight, but in general, I've just found very indifferent, confusing play from Tyler Bozak and David Clarkson. Agree or disagree?
I would agree. You know, both, I mean, for different reasons. I mean, obviously, Tyler Bozak gets a lot more ice time. It has been in way more prime time of a role here. And really, one of the big issues with the Leafs is what we've long considered their top line with Bozak, Van Riemsdyk, and Kessel. Of course, those guys didn't play together tonight. But that's been one of the real issues the team has faced. And, you know, Tyler Bozak gets that ice time, you know, on the strength of the fact he's reliable. He's their best faceoff man. He's been a penalty killer for them for some time. But, you know, his play, it's been questionable. You know, I think Clarkson is a little bit back to where he was in some ways last year. I think you can see him trying to make an impact. He's trying to, you know, you see him pushing and shoving. And, you know, I think he's looking for his role still on the team. And you know, maybe ultimately he'll find he just doesn't quite have one, doesn't fit somewhere. But, you know, I think that I really do believe with David Clarkson specifically, the want is there, but maybe not sure exactly where to contribute because he's not going to see offensive minutes or very many of them. And, you know, if he's not scoring, you know, this is a league no longer that doesn't seem to have much fighting, especially the Leafs anymore. And it's almost like he doesn't know where he fits. But, you know, I agree with you that to signal those two guys out on a night like tonight, because, you know, I just didn't see very much productive from either of them.
Chris, I'd like to also get your thoughts and comments on a couple of the young defenders in Morgan Riley and Jake Gardiner. I know our very own Matt Brown this morning in asking Morgan Riley just about Randy Carlyle. He chose to, I think, deflect some of those, you know, personal questions on what he thought it was like playing for Randy Carlyle. And obviously, I think it's been documented as far as, you know, the frustration level with Randy and Jake Gardiner. But, you know, tonight it's only one game. And yet at the end of the night, Morgan Riley surprisingly played over 23 minutes, second only to Dion Phaneuf. And then Jake Gardiner only 17, but was a minus four on the evening.
You know, I think these are the two players on the entire roster that stand to benefit the most by the change of Randy Carlyle. And it's not because I'm solely placing at Randy's feet their, if you want to call it, stall development or, you know, lack of move forward. But I do think, you know, two young guys, we know they're friends, we know they live together, and I think that they were very, very frustrated with Randy Carlyle. They didn't feel that anything they could do could earn his trust. And you know, I just think a change, you know, for two of those players who are still, you know, especially in Riley's case, very early their NHL career could be a positive thing, just getting a new voice, feeling like they get a fresh start to work at things here and move forward. I mean, obviously, it was not a very good night at all for Jake Gardiner. You know, he was the one on the ice for that shorthanded goal, though it wasn't entirely his fault. He got left alone out there. But you know, it was sort of a forgettable evening for him. But I'll be very interesting to see over a longer period of time if these guys are able maybe to take the step forward everyone expects. You know, I mean, defense is, we all know, even Randy Carlyle said often, is, you know, the toughest position to get young players comfortable at, contributing at. And you know, I do think those guys in particular just felt like they weren't, they didn't know how to communicate with the coach. I think one thing Peter Horchak will do better than Randy Carlyle is maybe communicate a little bit better and talk to them more and try to build up their confidence, because I think both have been lacking a bit this season.
Chris, appreciate your time as always. Back home, sweet home. Catch up with you soon, okay? Thanks, pal.
Yep, Friday night. The Blue Jackets will be in town, and we'll see if the Leafs can get a result.
Yeah, that's for sure. Chris Johnson joining us from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. Let's take an overdue break, come back. I do want to, Ozzie, get more about what you thought of Peter Horchak. You were listening quite intently and interesting as he's trying to articulate what he intends to do, and hear from more of the principals in tonight's game. Like we said, it really wasn't a horrible effort. It's a horrible result, a 6-2 score, a 6-2 victory for the Washington Capitals over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Tomorrow morning, wake up to Brady and Walker.
Hey, I'm Andrew. He's Greg. Yes, it is the post-Randy Carlisle era. It got underway tonight. We'll talk about it all tomorrow on a very cold Thursday morning.
It's the coldest night of the year. I can't even believe we came to the game. I even wore long underwear.
And I know. You didn't have to show me.
Well, it just felt like something that was the right thing to do. We'll see you on Thursday.
Brady and Walker. Weekday mornings from 5:30 till 9 on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
There's winter ready, and then there's Canadian winter ready. Take on all seasons in style during Acura's accelerated sales event with the all-new Acura TLX, featuring available super handling all-wheel drive, remote engine starter, heated seats, and heated steering wheel. And right now, lease the all-new TLX from $229 bi-weekly with zero down at 1.9% for 36 months. Experience all of the winter-ready Acura models during the accelerated sales event. See AcuraGTA.ca for details or visit your local GTA Acura dealer today.
The following is a paid political message.
My wife and I got into public life because we were tired of politicians raising our taxes without delivering real benefits to hardworking families. I'm Stephen Harper. That's why our government pays benefits directly to parents, so you can choose what's right for your family. Right now, we have a plan before Parliament that would put more money into the pocket of every single Canadian family with kids. Our government is committed to delivering benefits directly to you.
Stephen Harper, strong leadership for a serious job. A message from the Conservative Party.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Donate online at carsforkids.ca. That's cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll benefit a child and get a maximum tax credit.
1-877 Cars for Kids.
Down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Brought to the line by Carlson on the right wing side for Fair. A shot, he scores! Did it go off Jake Gardner's stick? And either way, it is the second goal of the hockey game for Eric Fair. And the dagger into the Maple Leafs comeback attempt.
Eric Fair making it 5-2 for the Washington Capitals over the Toronto Maple Leafs on their way to a 6-2 win. The Caps over the Maple Leafs. You're welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Eric Fair, a Capital, went back home to Winnipeg, and it didn't work out. You thought the Winnipeg thought they'd be a hometown kid and goes back to Washington, and probably because of that system you talk about, fits in quite well.
Yeah, you know what? It's an interesting thing, having watched Eric Fair as a Brandon Wheking and being a first-round pick of the Washington Capitals, one of those long-forgotten guys in the 2003 National Hockey League draft that was very deep with the likes of Getzlaff and Perry and Mike Richards and Eric Staal, the list goes on as far as those guys go. But again, it appears as though he's benefiting from Barry Trotz. There's no question about it. Missed a part of the season due to injuries. He's had injuries over the course of his career. But a real good night tonight, Gord. Two goals and an assist is 13th of the season. At that, that's a plus for the Washington Capitals to get him scoring some goals.
Tell you what, let's do a quick tip-top Taylor player of the game. Take a break, and we'll come back with Mike Zeisberg. How about that? So we'll do this because we got some business to do. Tip Top Tailor Player of the Game is brought to you by Tip Top Tailors. It's all about style. Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop.
Well, you know what? Is that where you're leading me to? Is to obviously give it to Eric Fair because you mentioned him.
Why did you bring that attention to him? Look, I don't play games with you, Ozzy. Okay, I would tell you up front, my MVP would be, I don't know. Who would yours be? Is it a Washington? Obviously a Washington Capital.
Yeah, it is. Okay. I can't pick a make-believe because I already set that precedent a long time ago that it
bigger
would
than
not
a bread box.
Fair.
I don't know. You want to get more hints?
But anyway, seeing as though I gave props to Eric Fair, I'm going with Johansson. He got two goals on the night as well.
You're even talking European now when you pronounce his name. You're
well, you called
accent.
Him Johansson earlier. It's Johansson.
I thought of Trevor.
Anyways,
okay? Johansson.
So he gets the tip-top player of the game with a couple of goals as well on the evening.
And a little Borkum riff or something like that. Just a little bit that way. Certainly no shortage of talent. as far as that goes. And no shortage of talent, as Mr. Zeisberger will join us when we come back. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
When we heard that Mike from Oshawa changed his wedding date because he had tickets to see the Leafs, we thought, wow, hardcore. Then we found Kathy from Pickering. She insisted they air the Leaf game in the delivery room. Not bad. But Mark from Toronto, he takes the cake. He's been caught dancing on the Jumbotron 18 times, and when his boss found out, good old Marky got promoted. Share what you do for hockey using hashtag AnythingForHockey. Molson Canadian, diehard fan and proud partner of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Welcome back to the Junior A Winter Volleyball Tournament. Let's check in on our final match. Here's the serve. Great form from Becky. She's just been unstoppable today. That was her 64th ace. It's hard to imagine a comeback is even possible at this point, people.
Dad.
Yeah.
There's no one else here.
Sorry, honey.
Get there in a Subaru this winter, even when others can't. Visit your local Subaru dealer for lease rates from 0.5%.
Converting Ontario's coal stations to natural gas, along with domestically grown carbon-neutral biomass fuels, is a low-cost, environmentally friendly alternative. It also creates jobs and enhances our energy security for years to come. Learn more at pwu.ca. The Power Workers Union. The people who help keep the lights on.
Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You guys put a lot of pressure on the guys all the time. I mean, that's what you like to do. So they all know when they're in this environment that that's part of the, goes with it. That's part of it.
Well, a little bit, Peter Horacek, the new interim coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, his post-game press conference. 6-2, the Washington Capitals defeat the Maple Leafs. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, welcoming you back to Leafs Nation post-game, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Mike Zeisberger from the Toronto Sun, covering the Maple Leafs and the National Hockey League, coming in here just looking very smug, as he normally does, because he's got it all figured out. And
Yeah,
which is good, which is good. First of all, Happy New Year, Zeiss.
Happy New Year to you guys, too. And I just wanted to, and I mentioned this on the station earlier, but, you know, we talk about coaches, how they come and go, and that's part of the profession. But condolences to the Carlisle family. You know, Randy lost his brother-in-law, I believe, to ALS. I apologize if that's wrong, but best goes out to the family, you know. Sometimes as media fans, whatever, you start to forget that these people are human beings too.
And Randy mentioned that after what he'd gone through, really getting fired was things were very much in perspective that way. And maybe talk about dealing with Randy Carlisle. He really changed his ways from Anaheim. This wasn't his cup of tea to be in the limelight, but unlike Ron Wilson, who just chose to be indignant and whatever, I give Randy full marks. He really, to
abrasive?
Me... in Ron Wilson's case,
yes.
Well, even more than that,
yeah.
Whatever. But Randy, to me, really tried to walk the walk,
yes.
On the ice, off the ice, and with the media requirements.
Definitely, and I mean, there was always going to be that sandpaper aspect to Randy, but I did think that he very much did attempt to, and for the most part, I thought he did an all right job in doing that. You know, I think that, as we all can say, sometimes things get overblown. I thought that, you know, he got a bit of a raw deal last year after that Detroit game when he said that Reimer was just okay. And this blew up into this big controversy that, to me, wasn't. Because, you know what? What would Mike Keenan have said about a goalie? I mean, if Mike Keenan said a goalie was just okay, then you might as well give the guy the Vezina, because that's the biggest compliment you'd ever get.
The last decade, Mike Keenan's not coached because a lot of things have changed, and it was Reimer's agent that got it going.
Yeah,
Reimer's
exactly.
agent tweeted it. So you're right. I mean, just okay. You kidding? I'd be happy. Ozzy would be ecstatic with a just okay post-game show, okay? Me, I've got higher standards.
Well, you know what? I still continue to wait, and I'm patient like a lot of Leaf fans defensively, Gord, so I liken you to the defensive zone play of the Maple Leafs. It's going to come over the course of time, so I think you're going to develop as
what,
well.
What, decades? Century? injuries? What's our time frame?
Oh, boy, Ozzie hot under the
collar. You know what? Interesting enough, though, Zies, and I don't know if you've had an opportunity to read a couple of the articles that have been written. I know Steve Buffery, who sat down with Randy, kind of knocked on his door in Etobicoke, and surprise, surprise, you know, Randy chose to take the high road. And then at the end of the day, with a brother-in-law dying, I mean, this is really minor when it comes to getting fired when you put things into perspective. And yet at the end of the day, he said probably the one of the things that probably bothered him the most, it wasn't the fans, it wasn't the media, it may have been some of the distractions of the Mike Babcock situation, for instance, which, you know, he was full of. You know, he basically mentioned that, and I don't know your thoughts in that, how difficult that would be not only to coach in this market, but to always be hearing those rumors of Brendan bringing a guy or waiting for Mike Babcock at the end of the day.
Yeah, but you could say that the dynamics of the whole thing were dysfunctional from the start in that the coach gets an extension, but they get rid of his assistants and bring in new guys. The general manager remains, but they get rid of his assistants and bring in new guys. And, you know, I mean, did any of us really think this was going to work? I mean, you know, you kind of, because they're all good people that were involved here, I will say this, but just the dynamics and the way that it was structured at the beginning of the season, you just figured, you know what, can this possibly work? And I would throw that to you, Gord, as a former general manager. I mean, did you not look at this and say, you know, this right here, there's the ingredients for dysfunction?
And this is the part of the of this.
Are you going to give
that I really
now?
Like is now that you start answering, asking him the question. So I just love how this is starting to change a little bit here.
Well, it's of course, I had guys like Ozzie playing for me.
Yeah,
so
well.
I had no chance. Okay, you know something? I go back to ownership all the way. Like, Ozzie played, and a lot of guys played very proudly and wore the Maple Leaf back there. So sometimes we make light of it. I don't like that part because there's a lot of guys that played well and played with pride. Harold Ballard was a ridiculous owner.
Yep.
He treated me well. I mean, that's why, hey, gave me an opportunity. So why would I come here dump on the guy? That's why it ticks me off when Ron Wilson dumps on Leaf fans, for example, okay?
Yep.
So, but yeah, it would be very difficult to win under what happened there. Steve Stavro comes in, the cash shorts. The teacher's pension fund comes in, do-re-mi. Don't really care what goes on the ice, do-re-mi, okay? Tim Lywicki comes in, new CEO. Oh, it's cold here. My wife doesn't like it or whatever. I'm going home. I'm going to change the culture. Whatever, you know? Brendan Shanahan comes in. Hey, you're my GM. You guys gone. You're gone. Coach, so what do you want? You can still have success, but you look at a Detroit organization where an owner owns it,
yep.
A guy's in place, this is in place, whatever. The Devils in their heyday. It's no mystery why Chicago, jeez. Did that turn around when Bill Wirtz passed away?
Yep.
So that part has to be, and I got to believe this is what Brendan Shanahan intends to do.
Yep.
But Lywicki was a negative hiccup to the ownership structure.
It is cold.
It is cold. It is cold. It is cold. Yeah, it's cold tonight. We know that.
So do we want to now move to the game tonight? And I know it's only one game, and we had you know, Chris Johnson on earlier, Zies. But, you know, as far as the building being very, very quiet, and yet the challenge or the observation for me is this particular group. Was there enough emotion shown by this particular group on the day after their coach gets fired, and some of the adrenaline or some things that you think would occur here on the ice, did they occur for you?
No, they didn't. I didn't think that they got off to a bad start. I didn't think they had a bad first period. I mean, you look at the shots. I mean, they were 7-4 in the first period. I mean, if you want to tighten up defensively, that's what you want, but I think we can look at the turning point of the game being that shorthanded goal that comes right after you tie the game. That just cannot happen, and it gave the Capitals a lot of zip, and it just siphoned any energy that the Leafs had, and you know, you just wonder. This is now 6 losses in the last 8 games. Where do you go from here?
Well, you come back on Friday against Columbus. And you go back, hey, this perspective is this team was 10-1-1 in 12 games. And we knew this wasn't a 10-1-1 team, but it's like life. When things suck, it's a struggle to get going again. Mm-hmm. It really is. And then once you turn the corner, I'm not saying they'll be 10-1-1 again, but that'll be the challenge. The Edmonton Oilers did it to a degree. The Calgary Flames did it to a degree again, and that's the challenge that faces the Leaf players and the coaches.
But here's what's going to be real difficult for them, and this is where you give Randy Carlyle a lot of credit, that they were able and enabled this team to score goals. They were exciting, and when they got the puck, they went. Now you're trying to teach them and say, no, we've got to change midway through a season and try to get these guys to buy in what Peter Horachuk at least accentuated some of the positives. Four shots against in that first period. Was it an enjoyable fan from a fan perspective? Absolutely not. It was an awful game to watch as far as that goes, but now they've got to find ways to restructure and find ways to win, but I don't think this group is capable of doing that as it stands right now.
Well, the one thing that, you know, I mean, we can talk about gloom and doom all you want, but, I mean, you look at the standings, this team is not 20 points out of a playoff spot right now, and I think that's, you know, one of the things is, this can be salvaged, but you have to find some emotion, and I do not see the emotion here. And I think that's one of the things in that Winnipeg game the other night.
Well, where should that emotion come from, and who should it come from when you look at that? Komarov's going to give you an effort. He's going to run guys over and do all that kind of stuff. Where should that emotion come from?
Look, I'm going to go back to the leadership core, and how many coaches are, you know, you can have a coaching assembly line here, okay? The common theme is that you've still got the same seven core guys there. And at some point, I think that you have to look hard at these guys and say, you know what? I don't care what the stats are. This just isn't working.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll pick up on that next time we chat. Maybe Friday, if that's okay. We got a break for the network hour now. But, Zeiss, thanks very much as
Thank
always.
Thank you, guys.
A fiery Mike Zeisberg is storming in here from the Toronto Sun.
I have to be fiery because the crowd wasn't today. I mean, sitting in the seat, the difference in 48 hours between sitting up here on Monday night and tonight. Oh, that's...
If I had my way, you'd be on after the break, but I don't run this thing.
After the break, we'll have to give our out-of-town scores, of course, brought to you by our friends at Bergmanis Pereira, Ontario's most preferred personal injury law firm. Visit us at bplawyers.ca. More coming up, the local hour of Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Leafs Radio Network, and if your station cuts out, you can grab us on Sportsnet 590.
Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You guys put a lot of pressure on the guys all the time. I mean, that's what you like to do, so... They all know when they're in this environment that's part of the, goes with it. That's part of it.
Well, a little bit, Peter Horachuk, the new interim coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, his post-game press conference. 6-2, the Washington Capitals defeat the Maple Leafs. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne, welcoming you back to Leafs Nation post-game, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Mike Zeisberger from the Toronto Sun, covering the Maple Leafs and the National Hockey League, coming in here just looking very smug as he normally does because he's got it all figured out. And
which is good.
First of all, Happy New Year, Zeiss.
Happy New Year to you guys too. And I just wanted to, and I mentioned this on the station earlier, but you know, we talk about coaches, how they come and go, and that's part of the profession. But condolences to the Carlyle family. You know, Randy lost his brother-in-law, I believe, to ALS. I apologize if that's wrong, but best goes out to the family. You know, sometimes as media fans, whatever, you start to forget that these people are human beings too.
And Randy mentioned that after what he'd gone through, really getting fired was things were very much in perspective that way. And maybe talk about dealing with Randy Carlyle. He really changed his ways from Anaheim. This wasn't his cup of tea to be in the limelight, but unlike Ron Wilson, who just chose to be indignant and whatever, I give Randy full marks. He really, to
abrasive?
Me, in Ron Wilson's case,
yes.
Well, even more than that,
yeah.
Whatever. But Randy, to me, really tried to walk the walk,
yes.
On the ice, off the ice, and with the media requirements.
Definitely. And I mean, there was always going to be that sandpaper aspect to Randy, but I did think that he very much did attempt to, and for the most part, I thought he did an all right job in doing that. You know, I think that, as we all can say, we can all can say, sometimes things get overblown. I thought that, you know, he got a bit of a raw deal last year after that Detroit game when he said that Reimer was just okay, and this blew up into this big controversy that, to me, wasn't, because, you know what? What would Mike Keenan have said about a goalie? I mean, if Mike Keenan said a goalie was just okay, then you might as well give the guy the Vezina, because that's the biggest compliment you'd ever get.
The last decade, Mike Keenan's not coached because a lot of things have changed. And it was Reimer's agent that got it going.
Yeah,
Reimer's agent tweeted it. So you're right. I mean, just okay. You kidding? I'd be happy. Ozzie would be ecstatic with a just okay post-game show, okay? Me, I've got higher standards.
Well, you know what? I still continue to wait, and I'm patient like a lot of Leaf fans defensively, Gore. So I liken you to the defensive zone play of the Maple Leaf. It's going to come over the course of time, so I think you're going to develop as
what,
well.
What, decades? what's our time frame?
Oh, boy, Ozzie hot under the collar.
You know what? Interesting enough, those eyes, and I don't know if you've had an opportunity to read a couple of the articles that have been written. I know Steve Buffery, who sat down with Randy, kind of knocked on his door in Etobicoke, and surprise, surprise, you know, Randy chose to take the high road. And then at the end of the day, with a brother-in-law dying, I mean, this is really minor when it comes to getting fired when you put things into perspective. And yet at the end of the day, he said probably the one of the things that probably bothered him the most, it wasn't the fans, it wasn't the media, it may have been some of the distractions of the Mike Babcock situation, for instance, which, you know, he was full, you know, he basically mentioned that. And I don't know your thoughts in that, how difficult that would be not only to coach in this market, but to always be hearing those rumors of Brendan bringing a guy or waiting for Mike Babcock at the end of the day.
Yeah, but you could say that the dynamics of the whole thing were dysfunctional from the start, in that the coach gets an extension, but they get rid of his assistants and bring in new guys. The general manager remains, but they get rid of his assistants and bring in new guys. And, you know, I mean, did any of us really think this was going to work? I mean, you know, you kind of, because they're all good people that were involved here, I will say this, but just the dynamics and the way that it was structured at the beginning of the season, you just figured, you know what, can this possibly work? And I would throw that to you, Gord, as a former general manager. I mean, did you not look at this and say, you know, this right here, there's the ingredients for dysfunction?
And this is the part of the of this
that
I really
now?
Like is now that you start answering, asking him the question. So I just love how this is starting to change a little bit here.
Well, it's of course, I had guys like Ozzie playing for me. I had no chance. Okay, you know something? I go back to ownership all the way. Like, Ozzie played, and a lot of guys played very proudly and wore the Maple Leaf back there. So sometimes we make light of it. I don't like that part, because there's a lot of guys that played well and played with pride. Harold Ballard was a ridiculous owner.
Yep.
He treated me well. I mean, that's why, hey, gave me an opportunity. So why would I come here dump on the guy? That's why it ticks me off when Ron Wilson dumps on Leaf fans, for example, okay?
Yep.
So, but yeah, it would be very difficult to win under what happened there. Steve Stavro comes in, the cash shorts. The teacher's pension fund comes in, do-re-mi. Don't really care what goes on the ice, do-re-mi, okay? Tim Lywicki comes in, new CEO. Oh, it's cold here. My wife doesn't like it or whatever. I'm going home. I'm going to change the culture. Whatever, you know? Brendan Shanahan comes in. Hey, you're my GM. You guys gone. You're gone. Coach, so what do you want? You can still have success, but you look at a Detroit organization where an owner owns it.
Yep.
A guy's in place. This is in place. Whatever. The Devils in their heyday. It's no mystery why Chicago. Jeez. Did that turn around when Bill Wirtz passed away?
Yep.
So that part has to be, and I got to believe this is what Brendan Shanahan intends to do.
Yep.
But Lywicki was a negative hiccup to the ownership structure.
It is cold.
It is cold. It is cold. It is cold. Yeah, it's cold tonight. We know that.
So do we want to now move to the game tonight? And I know it's only one game, and we had you know, Chris Johnson on earlier, Zeiss. But, you know, as far as the building being very, very quiet, and yet the challenge or the observation for me is this particular group. Was there enough emotion shown by this particular group on the day after their coach gets fired, and some of the adrenaline or some things that you think would occur here on the ice, did they occur for you?
No, they didn't. I mean, I didn't think that they got off to a bad start. I didn't think they had a bad first period. I mean, you look at the shots. I mean, there were 7-4 in the first period. I mean, if you want to tighten up defensively, that's what you want. But, I think we can look at the turning point of the game being that shorthanded goal that comes right after you tie the game. That just cannot happen. And it just gave the Capitals a lot of zip, and it just siphoned any energy that the Leafs had. And you know, you just wonder, this is now six losses in the last eight games. Where do you go from here?
Well, it's you come back on Friday against Columbus, and you go back. Hey, this perspective is this team was 10-1-1 in 12
yeah.
games. And we knew this wasn't a 10-1-1 team, but it's like life. When things suck, it's a struggle to get going again. Mm-hmm. It really is. And then once you turn the corner, I'm not saying they'll be 10-1-1 again, but that'll be the challenge. The Edmonton Oilers did it to a degree. The Calgary Flames did it to a degree again. And that's the challenge that faces the Leaf players and the coaches.
But here's what's going to be real difficult for them. And this is where you give Randy Carlyle a lot of credit, that they were able and enabled this team to score goals. They were exciting. And when they got the puck, they went. Now you're trying to teach them and say, no, we've got to change midway through a season and try to get these guys to buy in what Peter Horachuk at least accentuated some of the positives. Four shots against in that first period. Was it an enjoyable fan from a fan perspective? Absolutely not. It was an awful game to watch as far as that goes, but now they've got to find ways to restructure and find ways to win. But I don't think this group is capable of doing that as it stands right now.
Well, the one thing that, you know, I mean, we can talk about gloom and doom all you want, but I mean, you look at the standings, this team is not 20 points out of a playoff spot right now. And I think that's, you know, one of the things is, this can be salvaged, but you have to find some emotion, and I do not see the emotion here. And I think that's one of the things in that Winnipeg game the other night.
But where should that emotion come from, and who should it come from when you look at that? Komarov's going to give you an effort. He's going to run guys over and do all stuff. Where should that emotion come
look
from?
Look, I'm going to go back to the leadership core, and how many coaches are, you know, you can have a coaching assembly line here, okay? The common theme is that you've still got the same seven core guys there. And at some point, I think that you have to look hard at these guys and say, you know what? I don't care what the stats are. This just isn't working.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll pick up on that next time we chat. Maybe Friday, if that's okay. We got a break for the network hour now. But, Zeiss, thanks very much as
always.
Thank
you, guys.
A fiery Mike Zeisberger storming in here from the Toronto Sun.
I have to be fiery because the crowd wasn't today. I mean, sitting in the seat, the difference in 48 hours between sitting up here on Monday night and tonight, oh, that's...
If I had my way, you'd be on after the break, but I don't run this thing.
After the break, we'll have to give our out-of-town scores, of course, brought to you by our friends at Bergmanis Pereira, Ontario's most referred personal injury law firm. Visit us at bplawyers.ca. More coming up, the local hour of Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Selleck, Mark Osborne, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Leafs Radio Network, and if your station cuts out, you can grab us on Sportsnet590.ca.
Because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to podcasts of Hockey Central at Noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
It's good, great communication. You know, I think people were comfortable with the guy yesterday, so I think that helps when you're transitioning.
A little bit from Daniel Winnick. He gets his second goal of the year. Shake. There he goes, Zeisberger's hand. Good performance by Zeisberger. He's getting a standing ovation here, coming back for curtain calls. Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Daniel Winnick, interesting, his second goal of the season. Trevor Smith, his first goal of the season. So not the usual scores for the Maple Leafs in a 6-2 loss to the Washington Capitals.
No, but when you talk about Daniel Winnick and Roman Polak, for that instance, scored in returning after taking a slap shot to the face. Both were the only two Maple Leafs that were in the plus column. So Daniel Winnick scores the second goal of the season, plus one. And does Roman Polak assist on the Trevor Smith goal? He was a plus one as well. So the issue is not necessarily your foot soldiers, as Michael Zeisberger commented on already. It's all about your leadership core and the core group of players that get the, as you like to call it, do-re-mi.
Well, and you know, we've gone a little bit all over the place, and I do want to get the out-of-town scores in, of course, but you know, I look at it, and geez, Roman Pola, what can you say? He took a puck to the side of the head and left a lot of blood on the ice, and there's a picture being tweeted about him that it's an ugly-looking growth he has on his face, and he comes out and plays. He sets up a goal. Like I said, like, you know, I do agree with Peter Horchek. You got to keep it positive. It's just like life. When things are not going your way, you've got to, you know, not keep unrealistic points of view in that, or not fool people, but you got to keep certain things positive. And there were some really positive things. And I know we got into the debate about Ovechkin running down Phaneuf. Should Phaneuf have challenged him? Should somebody else come back and challenged him? I still think Dion Phaneuf played a solid game.
He played a solid game, but again, it was something that, yeah, you got to recognize those situations. I've talked about it. I've commented it before that sometimes you do have to take matters in your own hands. And at least, what would have happened if Dion had gone back after him?
Well, I think you got a free chance.
It would have gotten this whole building in a little bit of emotion, and the players would have fed off it. I think it would have been a positive, but the choice was not to go ahead and do that.
Well, and again, I don't fight on the ice, but again, I'm not paid that to do that. You look, and I can get Alexander Ovechkin off the ice. Mm-hmm. I can get him off the ice. I'll do whatever. There's anybody on the team, anybody in the league, that's pretty well awash that way. So I concur about that. I know, like, in Zeiss's case, he feels a lot of ways that was one of those litmus things. But, again, you know, you piece things together. At the end of the day, it's a terrible score. It was a boring game. But to me, and I want to pick up about Peter Horchuk's things. But actually, let's do the out-of-town scoreboard again.
I don't know if you want the good news or the bad news scenario here, as a number of games are underway right now. 2:17 left in overtime in Pittsburgh. So what does that mean? The Bruins and the Penguins are in overtime. And by the way, I've just been shown that the Bruins just scored in overtime, even though I refreshed this computer. So
Brett's always up to date, our man Brett Armstrong. Don't be fooled by the hat, okay?
The Leafs played well tonight, but by the way, they're outside of the playoff window now. They dropped to ninth in the Eastern Conference, so I hope you're happy about that. So reality has moved in very, very quickly.
Brett, Christmas was December 25th. If you want to take the Elf's hat off, that would be nice. But anyway, okay.
So would you like me to move forward and get you the other scores that are underway right now? And by the way, it was... we still don't know who the Boston Bruins scorer was. Wish you could get that for us. But nonetheless,
Bergeron
scores in overtime. 3-2, Pittsburgh loses to the Boston Bruins. In Calgary, with about 12 minutes left in the second period, it's 1-1 between the Red Wings and the Calgary Flames. Mason Raymond opened the scoring with his sixth of the season. Riley Sheehan, his eighth, has replied for the Red Wings, as mentioned, about 12 minutes left in the second period. Just getting started in Anaheim, it's the Rangers and Ducks have no score, and that's all I have to report as far as the out-of-town scores. Unless you want me to then go back to the Pittsburgh and give you the goal scores, I'm happy to do that for you, Gord.
Yeah, we'll do that here. Just by the way, do you know who's starting goal in Anaheim tonight? Ilya Burzgalov. He's starting.
Oh yeah,
it's the New York Rangers. So that was a little bit interesting.
What a country!
So please go back and give us the scores.
Yeah. Anyways, going back to the Pittsburgh game in Pittsburgh, opening the scoring for the Pittsburgh Penguins was Bo Bennett, his second of the season. Then Zdeno Chara gets his third. It was 1-1 after the first period. The Bruins take the lead in the second period. After two periods, Patrice Bergeron, his ninth of the season, gives the Bruins a 2-1 lead after two periods. Evgeny Malkin, 14 seconds into the third period, ties it up, his 18th of the season. And as mentioned, Patrice Bergeron, his 10th of the season in overtime, gives the Boston Bruins a 3-2 win and puts the Maple Leafs into ninth place out of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference.
So the Randy Carlyle era, he left with the team in a playoff spot, and the first game of the post-Randy Carlyle era, the old line, if the season were to end today, they would be out of a playoff spot. One other note, because we're going to have to take a break in about 2 minutes to come back with more, but interesting chatting with Sherry Bassin, of course, from the Erie Otters outside there, home of Connor McDavid and company, and Mr. Ritchie was traded from Peterborough to Sault Ste. Marie, another top junior player, and Sherry's ready to bring it on. They always make some trades, load up. It's going to be a great fight to the end.
And that was the player that Don Cherry was wishing that the Maple Leafs would have drafted here, a big guy. And I was impressed as the tournament went on, the power forward that he is, and I believe who drafted him, the Anaheim Ducks. So They get a little bit bigger with Nick Ritchie, but the Western Conference in the Ontario Hockey League kind of loads up with Sault Ste. Marie is now doing battle with Sherry Basson and the Erie Otters.
I got to tell you a quick Nick Ritchie story.
Yep.
So the World Junior Tournament the other night, so Greg Zahn lands seats right behind the Team Canada bench, him, Jamie Campbell, Brad Fay, and another guy. Meanwhile, it's not our network that's broadcasting it, right? So they're on camera quite a bit, and then you notice they don't show them anymore. And Zahn, according to Jamie and Brad, like, Zahn's a passionate fan, and he was ridiculous and over the top. And they saw the Russian player taunt them, you know, the guy that did the celebration in front of the bench. So Zahn was angry. So then the final timeout, when Canada called a timeout when it was 5-4, and they came to the bench, and I guess he was up on the glass, and he was starting to yell at some of the guys, and Nick Ritchie looked, and the guys recognized him because it's Greg Zahn, and he kind of goes, "You kill those bleeping, whatever," and he said, Ritchie just nodded, and it turned and went. So anyway, it was, even for a guy that's a transplanted American like Greg Zahn and a baseball guy, he was passionate, and Nick Ritchie took
you
his
and
orders.
You and Zahn, you guys are close, say, now you're...
Ozzy and Zahn, those are my two best friends. We'll come back. I'll see where Zahn is, but I'll hang with Ozzy next hour. It's Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick and Ozzy, not Zahn, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Did Bob McCown just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
On demand.
On demand. On demand.
Analysis and insight that you can't get anywhere else. Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back. Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, is brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Here we are at a deserted, pretty well deserted Air Canada Center for a few people working away in the press box. A 6-2 Washington Capitol victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we've no shortage of topics to chat about. Let's hear from Phil Kessel first of all, and of course the subject of a lot of discussion, like a lot of people, but in particular when a team is struggling, as should be the case, the better players bear the most scrutiny. And here he is after tonight's 6-2 loss.
You know, we did some good things out there, but again, we didn't get it done. We gave them a couple goals here and there. They got a couple lucky bounces, but again, we got to be better. And you know, we're just looking to prove nothing.
Did you really say what the difference is with Peter behind the bench?
No, you know, I thought guys worked hard tonight. You know, we didn't get a lot of bounces. They got one that, you know, that one hit off the guy's stick, and they had a short-handed goal. You know, that's good for the game.
Third game in the last four, you guys give up less than 30 shots on game. Do you build on that?
Yeah, you got to build on that. I mean, they're a great team over there. You know, they're an offensive team. We gave them 25 or 26 shots or whatever it was, and, you know, they had four after the first. You know, we got to keep going and keep working, and, you know, they'll eventually come. You know, we got to improve.
Peter was talking about the importance of the message going to the locker room. Was he just reinforcing that with the late timeout?
Yeah, you know, I think guys are positive here, right? We know we have a good team here. You know, we haven't been playing our best, and we're making some mistakes, and they're getting goals off it.
Well, Gord, listening to Phil Kessel's comments there, almost mirrored in some respects his coach, Peter Horchuk, talking about giving them a couple of goals. The shorthanded affair, which was a real significant goal when the score was already 1-1. Daniel Winnick had tied the hockey game. This was, and you were on the power play. And this was about a minute and a half later that Eric Fehr put the Capitals up, and then you pull within one again in that second period. Trevor Smith, his first of the season, and then a defensive zone breakdown. The Johansson goal made it 4-2 with about just over three minutes left in that second period. The Capitals are a team under Barry Trotz that are just simply have improved structurally and defensively. There's the buy-in that you can see without the puck. And while the Leafs did some positive things that Phil talked about, at the end of the day, hopefully there's things to build on. But the 6-2 loss is a pretty significant one at the end of the day.
And like Phil said as well, got to give credit to a Washington Capitol team that is as improved a team since they came here November 29th and Leafs beat them. They've only lost two games since then. And you've mentioned, spoke volumes, that if you can, and you as an ex-player, can see a coach's imprint on a team you really like, and even more so than they did November 29th, and notice 6 weeks later, a lot of little things in a system and whatever subtleties and maybe not so subtleties, Barry Trotz has added to that system.
Well, you
and
know,
also talented guys.
No, absolutely. If some of the secondary scoring, Ovechkin, you know, is 20th in an empty net. And then you think of the guys who got a couple of goals, both of them each. Marcus Johansson with two. He's got 12 on the season. Eric Fair, the former first-round pick, chipped in with a couple of goals. He's up to 13. You also have another guy by the name of Troy Brouwer. He's got 11 goals. At times, plays on that top line. You've got Kuznetsov. Burakovsky as well is a young player. So Barry Trotz has got them to buy in, and I've mentioned this as well, is the road leading up to the Winter Classic. I think I was very impressed with the structure, the experience that Barry Trotz has been able to bring to this Washington Capitol team. They've been through a lot of first-year NHL coaches during the tenure of Alexander Ovechkin, going to Glenn Hanlon, Bruce Boudreau, Adam Oates, Dale Hunter.
Bruce Cassidy.
There you go. Five
that's
of
a
them.
A lot of them.
Five
yeah.
of them. And now you've got an experienced guy that's been there, done it. And I like what I see. And by the way, their goaltender, 22 straight games Braden Holtby has now played for the Washington Capitals. Two of them were only in back-to-back affairs. And he ties a franchise record of 22 consecutive starts for the Washington Capitals, and they've been red hot as of late, 11-1-3 in their last 15 hockey games.
Yeah, and, you know, on the Maple Leaf front, I'm just kind of going a little bit back and forth here with you, and we still really haven't even talked a lot about Peter Horchek's comments after the game, but I'm wondering, do you now put Jonathan Bernier on that kind of run? I kidded earlier. Well, I didn't kid. Ilya Brzgalov will be starting tonight for the Anaheim Ducks, but you saw Bruce Boudreau put a goaltender on like a 25-game straight run earlier that way. Do you think that now Bernier gets 80% of the starts? Or I mean, offhand?
Well, I can't go beyond the next five games. None of the, I don't believe those road games, the four that they have coming up in Los Angeles, Anaheim, San Jose, and St. Louis.
I just mean a philosophy.
Are any of those back-to-back? Are any of those back-to-back? I don't recall. I'll get back to you on that.
Two are back-to-back,
but,
yeah.
But I think for the most part, except for the flu that Jonathan Bernier did have, he was getting the brunt of the share when the Maple Leafs were on that 10-1-1 run. Rimes came in, and I think in relief when he played that game against Detroit and stood on his, you know, played very, very well, as I recall. That was a real positive for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I do believe that they're going to go back to riding Jonathan Bernier. Why wouldn't you?
Bob McGill from Leafs TV, and I know we just talked to you a little while ago, but so many things have happened, Robert, and we, of course, chatted this morning again tonight. You've been through it as a player. You've seen it. You've been a coach and seen it as a broadcaster and well-versed in the Toronto scene, and I'm just you know, curious about the first game, and it's one game, but the Peter Horchuk era as far as what you maybe liked and maybe some of the other wrinkles that need to be worked out more. What were your thoughts tonight?
Well, guys, you know, obviously a little disheartening. Didn't seem to be the inspired effort that I would have thought. you know, I mean, they came out in the first period and actually played pretty decent and, you know, only give up, what, five or six shots in period number one and I think less than 30 overall in the whole game. But, you know, they're down a goal after 20 minutes of play, which, you know, was, you know, a terrific shot on the goal for the Capitals. But then, you know, they come out in period two and they tie things up on a nice goal. I thought Nazem Kadri made a couple nice plays on that goal. And Daniel Winnick finally gets rewarded with all his good work that he's done throughout the course of the season and gets his second. And what is it, a minute and a half later, they go to the power play and they get a shorthanded tally and a very, uninspiring effort by David Clarkson on the back check there on that play. And also, you know, was it Morgan Riley making the change on the play? And so it was just kind of something where they got a little scrambled around in different situations throughout the course of the hockey game. And then at the end of it all, as I said, I think kind of an uninspiring effort when you look at what transpired over the course of the last day. When you fire a coach and you have a new guy taking over, you think that first impressions are pretty important, and some guys certainly didn't step up to the plate like they needed to.
Big Daddy, we had Mike Zeisberger on earlier, and I posed the question, you know, as far as I think what this team was able to accomplish under Randy Carlyle, certainly from an offensive perspective. I mean, many a night we've had the wow factor as far as their ability to score goals, but now obviously everyone is you know, looks at this team and they've got to do this better. We know the defensive end of things. Do you think that this is going to be more of a difficult challenge for this group to actually do and buy into for a longer period of time and then become frustrated that they're no longer the free-willing offensive type of team? Or how do you think that that's going to play itself out over the course of time?
Well, Oz, I think, you know, it's one of those things where I think that they've got the ability to score goals, and they've proven that. I mean, coming into today, I think they had scored the most goals in the National Hockey League, 130. But the problem is there's only four teams that have given up more goals than the Maple Leafs have. So you're at both ends of the spectrum where, yeah, we can play offense and whatnot, but, you know, at the end of the day, teams that are going to make the playoffs, you know, are teams that can play well defensively. And that's something, you know, like that's just something that, you know, they've got to get through their heads that you can still score goals, but you have to have some responsibilities defensively. And, you know, it's funny, when I coached, I always used to call the defensive end the business zone, and the offensive end was the fun zone. And I always used to say to everybody that if you take care of business, you can go have some fun. And that's something that I don't know if that's the kind of model that they need or something. I don't really know, but you know, it's, you know, these are NHL players and guys, like, paying attention to detail isn't, you know, it's really a will to get it done. And you need more of that on a consistent basis, because when things dry up, when you're not playing terrific offensively, you're in trouble because you're giving up too many opportunities the other way. And they've got to change that, and it's got to be a mindset throughout the whole group. And collectively, they have to make that decision that, you know, we are going to try and pay attention to the details that much more moving forward, because, you know, after tonight's action, you know, again, they give up another game in hand to a team like the Florida Panthers, who now have four in hand, and they're only a couple of points back of the Maple Leafs for that last playoff spot. So, and if you look at the schedule, it's not going to get any easier, is it, gentlemen?
Well, no, it's not. And just, you know, when we look at some of the guys, like, who may benefit always, as you know, with the coaching change, a couple of guys our coach likes, a couple of guys maybe liked by the previous coach, see their minutes go down. Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner, and we were chatting about Mike Zeisberger, or Chris Johnson, actually, and Chris was saying he thinks these are the two key guys that could benefit from the change. We saw Riley's minutes go up to 23 tonight. We saw him stick with Jake, even though he had, what, a minus four at the end of the day. And they're roommates. They're guys that, we were surprised Morgan Riley didn't want to say anything about Randy Carlyle, which, if you don't want to speak, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything, which seemed to be the message we got pregame about it. Do you agree that maybe these are the two guys, two biggest projects for Peter Horchuk?
Yeah, that's not a bad one, for sure. I mean, Morgan Riley has, you know, sort of been treading water. I find. I mean, he's had some ups, a couple little bit of downs, but he hasn't been too bad. I mean, he hasn't been, you know, he certainly hasn't had the sophomore jinx where he's looked out of place and really, you know, stumbling around and really being lost out there. I find Jake Gardner has been the guy for me that's really been struggling. And, you know, when you look at this past road trip here after Christmas, he was out of sorts and turning the puck over and just all kinds of things. And then things start to spiral, and then you look at tonight, you know, he's a dash four again tonight. So what's he, minus 15 on the season now, which I think is worst on the hockey club. So, you know, Jake is a kid that I think that seeing Steve Staios on the ice today, and I think he's going to be out there in practice working with the defense a little bit. And I think that a guy like him who's got 1,000 games in the National Hockey League under his belt can instill hopefully some confidence in these guys because, yeah, I mean, they are, you know, they're a couple of kids that if you're going to start winning some games, you're going to need some production out of them, not only offensively, but from the defensive side of things, as you know, can we continue to talk about their defensive game as a whole. Those are the two kids certainly got to pick up their socks that way, but everybody does on this hockey club right now with the way they're playing defensively.
Big Daddy, let's go over to the other side, the Washington Capitals, and I know you're very fond and an old Western boy in Barry Trotz making the transition from the Nashville Predators to the Washington Capitals. We go back to the end of late November. The tide was turned. It was 6-2 in favor of the Maple Leafs. What have you seen out of these Capitals that maybe has your attention a little bit that Barry has been able to get these Caps to buy into his way as far as his coaching philosophy?
Yeah, it's interesting, Oz. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, when they were here in November, as you spoke, of the Leafs with the 6-2 victory, and, you know, Barry Trotz wasn't very happy with just how their team was playing. He says, we're coming along, we're starting to, you know, sort of incorporate or they're starting to grasp what I want from them and how I want them to play. Well, they lost the following game after that Maple Leaf game here in November. But since then, they're, what, 11-1-3 in their last 15. So they're starting to, you know, I spoke with Barry Trotz today. And, yeah, I played junior hockey against him. He played for Regina Pats. That they beat us in the Western Hockey League Finals, and they went to the Memorial Cup the year. Brian Murray was his head coach there in Regina at the time. So there's some ties from old times past. But, you know, that hockey club, it's interesting because Trotsky's saying today that, you know, over the course of the last number of years, when it came to tight one-goal games, Washington always seemed to be on the wrong side of it because they would cheat offensively, try to get that next goal, and they would cough up a goal. Well, the addition of Barry Trotz coming in with his staff, you know, implementing, you know, what he believes. And he said he's let them continue to play offensively, but when you don't have the puck, you've got to do certain things. And they're winning those games now, those close games, those one-goal games. And, you know, I think the addition of a guy like Brooks Orpik and certainly Niskanen on the back end helps solidify things. But you've got kids like Carlson and Alsner, who've now, you know, at 25 and 26 years of old, have come into their own also. So, I mean, they got a big hockey club. You see the size of them tonight. Like, up front, they're big. They're same with on their blue line. They're big. They're mobile. And, you know, defensively, they're a pretty good team. So I think that they're going to be a group where, you know, think of Ovechkin over the years. It was always all about him. I'm going to score 65 goals. I don't care, you know, how many minuses I get. Yeah, he's a plus player now. And I think that, you know, all the accolades, you know, I think it's almost like he's matured enough where he realizes that it's about team here and we've got to try and get something done here as a hockey club. And maybe that's sinking in with having a guy like Trotz there and everybody buying in together.
Bob, with your perspective as well, Ron Wilson weighing in. And it's not like he was weighing in really to support Randy Carlyle. He's a guy you can't find, but then when it's Christmas Day and he gets an extension, he tweets it, contract extension, and, you know, now coming in. And did you find that maybe it's interesting what he had to say? He pointed out free agents, like used Tim Connolly as an example, just guys in general that are looked to take a step ahead and actually put you backwards a bit. Was it constructive, or is he just putting lighter fluid on a fire and should just stay out of it?
Yeah, I would have to say that it's the lighter fluid. Him being able to chirp in because, you know, obviously the guy who came in after him in Randy Carlyle had the same type of results. Yes, Randy Baden, you know, took the team to the postseason, you know, the one year where Ron didn't have that happen for him when he was here as the Maple Leaf head coach. But you know what? Some sour grapes, maybe a little bit, but at the end of the day, hey, we won't be having any tag days for either of those guys because, you know, they were long tenures as head coaches in the National Hockey League. And, you know, they've both won a lot of games. And, you know, Randy's won a Stanley Cup, and he did it his way. And you know, will either of them be back as a head coach again? Who knows for sure? sounds like Ron Wilson might be interested in getting back in there, as he alluded to today, apparently on your station. And you know, Randy, if he wants to get back into it, there's always openings every year, it seems, right?
Yeah, Big Daddy, one final question for me, just on the Maple Leaf ledger of things. And, you know, I mean, kind of as your centermen go, so do your team in general. And kind of one guy for me that's been really, really quiet the last, you know, number of weeks has been Tyler Bozak. And I don't know if you've noticed it, that, you know, his play has been a little bit indifferent, doesn't seem to be as engaged as much, as not as skating as well as he was, say, at a juncture in time in December. Any insights as to, you know, what's going on with Tyler Bozak? Is he just, you know, fighting it as much as his line mates are at this point?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting one, Mark. You know, it's something I know that his grandmother passed away he found out before the New Year's Eve game in Boston. And, you know, I mean, obviously he hasn't played very well of late. And tonight I was honestly disappointed, you know, in himself. And, you know, did JVR play tonight? Like really? Like, you know, the star players, you know, when you go on a road trip, you know, lots of times when you go on an extended road trip and you have a, you know, you go a 5-2 and you have a great road trip, you come home, you always seem to soil the sheets when you come home. But when you go, you know, the way they did and played poorly, when you come home, you fire the coach, you get a new coach, usually it's a pretty inspirational game in that first one back at home. And there was a lot of passengers tonight, as far as I'm concerned, when I watched that game. And that's concerning for me, because there's been some guys that have really faltered in the last little bit here since Christmas. And as we said, Columbus comes in here, they've won 4 or 5. They've been one of the hotter teams around the league. And then that trip out to California, and then, oh, let's play in St. Louis on the way home from there. Like, there's some big-time tough games coming up here. And it's time that, you know, they're going to have to really, you know, step up here and get things back on track if they want to salvage some victories and stay in this, in the spot that they're holding, that last playoff spot right now, because there's lots of teams that are starting to close the gap.
Yeah, and we just heard the late score from Boston. So actually, as of a few minutes ago, they've Boston winning in overtime. So they've fallen out of the playoff spot, and as you say, but still being competitive for it. And Bob, a happy new year to you and your family. And we'll look forward to being around the rink. It's a little bit more fun for all of us when they're 10-1-1. And hopefully we'll get on back on track, but always appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, let's hope so, guys. I mean, everybody wants to see this team do well, and it's frustrating, and I'm sure the players are more frustrated than anybody else, but they're the ones that are getting paid to put the points on the board, so let's hope that's going to transpire starting again here on Friday.
Thanks, Bob.
You bet, gentlemen.
Bob McGill from Leafs TV joining us. We'll come back. We'll take one more look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Might connect with somebody from Washington. Might not. We'll find out. Doesn't matter. We can handle it. Don't worry, Matt, our intrepid producer, Matt Brown. Trying to find guests. If you want to be a guest, call Matt and he'll put you on and pretend you know something.
You
about
want to give
Washington.
Him number, his number?
Yeah, I think everyone knows Matt's number. He's well known. We'll be back. It's Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
I got a couple lucky bounces, but again, we got to be better. And, you know, we're just looking to prove that.
Phil Kessel, after the Maple Leafs 6-2 loss to the Washington Capitals, as we welcome you back for one more segment of Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, at a pretty deserted Air Canada Center. What's this, the Raptors tomorrow?
Well, what do you expect, Gord? The game's been
Raptors?
Over a couple of hours ago. Did you expect people to stay here?
No, just the crowd that's watching the show, our buddy Neil here, and the other people that have to be around. I don't know if Neil's got a ticket or not. We'll check it in a second here. But anyway, you came up with, I thought, an interesting stat for a little bit of a statement, even though it's maybe you're splitting seconds by the number of seconds. It's the least ice time for one player.
Well, David Clarkson, Gord, 11 minutes and 8 seconds is a season low for David Clarkson. You know, we're always kind of curious and observing with, obviously, Horacek behind the bench. Steve Spott going from coaching the forwards to now moving to the back end. Stevie Steos was on the bench with the forwards. So, you know, you always want to measure you know, what the line combinations are going to be. Does a guy like David Booth play extended minutes? We saw Richard Ponick moving up in different aspects of the lineup. So that was just a noteworthy item from a guy who's got 9 goals on the season. And, you know, I guess I've made mention that I'd like to see David be a little bit more abrasive like he was at the start of the year going to the net. I think that part of his game has been just a little bit diminished as of late.
Well, a player that did benefit, Daniel Winnick, 16 minutes, 59 seconds of ice time, so just under 17 minutes, a goal, and was plus one. And here's a little bit from Daniel Winnick after tonight's game.
Interesting comment from Stefan where he said you got to make teams earn the point here tonight. What's your view on how things ended up after 3 periods?
It's frustrating, I think. I thought we did a great job defensively to eliminate a team like that, 25 shots, especially when they have some power plays. And I think Stefan's right. I think we gave him some goals, and that's what put us down.
A shorthanded goal, I guess, any time really takes a lot of the wind out of the sails, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially after it's close proximity to when we scored. So instead of it being a momentum changer for us, it changes tides their way.
He was talking about nerves a little bit. Did you notice any nervousness to start the game?
I think so. You could feel the tension. You could almost kind of feel it in the building. Everyone was kind of quiet, and I don't know, maybe that had something to do with it as well.
How did the evening go in terms of the new coaching staff communication?
It was good. Great communication. You know, I think the people were comfortable with it. It's not like they just brought a new guy in yesterday, so I think that helps when you're transitioning.
Things seem to work well out offensively for you in terms of getting goals and setting those up?
Yeah, you know, it's been a while since I scored, and it's nice to get that monkey off my back, and hopefully I just keep it going.
And there's been a lot of talk kind of consistently throughout the year about some of the defensive struggles the team's had. I mean, how long do you think realistically it should take before we expect improvement there?
Well, I think you saw improvement tonight. You know, like I said, the shot totals, and there are some areas we still got to sharpen up, like soft slot. They had a lot of chances from there, and I think if we progressively improve on those areas, the shot totals will even be less.
What was the message from Peter during that late timeout?
Oh, that was just for to get 6-on-5. Yeah, that was just to rest, guys.
Daniel Winnick after tonight's game. So I would think, based on his performance tonight, Ozzie, that the little increase in ice time, he probably will see it in the immediate future.
Well, you know what? You're going to get workmanlike effort out of Daniel Winnick. And by the way, Gord, as he mentioned, 28 games in between goals. Had a couple of more games due to that injury. If you remember, I think it was in Colorado or Arizona that he ended up, I think in Colorado, got knocked out a little bit, missed the next couple of games. But, you know, as a guy and a versatile player, I don't know what your expectations are as far as him, you know, contributing on the score sheet, but you'd certainly like to have a little bit less of games in between goals. 28 was the count for him from his last goal.
Well, we always get Randy Carlyle after the game. We pick it up on Leafs Nation postgame. Peter Horacek, here he is after his first game as interim head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Of course, you wanted to win in your first game, but how do you feel the evening progressed?
Well, you know, there's always disappointment when we lose like that. So there were some good things. We outchanced them. Our possession numbers were better. We outshot them. But we gave up some poor, timely goals. The shorthanded goal was bad. But the fourth goal was a real breaker. Right after we scored that goal, we might have had some momentum back on our side. And if you take away those two goals, right then it's 2-2 and we're in the game. So we've got to eliminate those issues where we're making things happen to ourselves. But we did a lot of things that we wanted to do, and sometimes it's just going to be harder at first than we want it to be to get back into the win column. So we're going to get back to work, and we're just going to continue to push and say, listen, these are some of the areas. There's some areas where I thought we stopped working, some areas where guys let up, and we can fix that. So, you know, there's a lot of a lot of positive things, but at the end of the day, you know, it's the win column that matters.
How will you plot progress in the next, in the short term? How will you plot progress? What do you want?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's the things I just mentioned. We they outchanced them. They had 12 chances. There's the games where we were giving up 40 shots and they're getting 25, 26 chances. So they had 12. Our possession time that we chart and take care of and look at that, our numbers were better than theirs. But there's still a game to play when you look off all those stats and the analytics and different things. There's still a game that plays inside. And we gave up goals that were untimely and unnecessary. And so we can eliminate those things, which is the positive thing. And, you know, I feel like the guys were in a good frame of mind going into it. They seem to be pretty jazzed up. I think you can see the start of the game that looked like they were pretty tight. And they either nervous or tight or whatever the reason is. But I felt like we weren't moving our feet early in the game. And we did some good things in the low recoveries or breakouts, if you will. But then we kind of mishandled pucks and turned pucks over early in the period, which kind of kept the momentum on their side. But they still didn't capitalize in a lot of areas where, you know, I thought that we could have been better. And I think that we can continue going in that direction.
One of the Washington players told me the biggest difference under Tross is that they've had to learn to play five-man system in the defensive zone.
Yeah.
You obviously worked with Barry.
Yeah.
Is that going to be something that you'll incorporate into your group?
It's absolutely. It's what we used to call 5-5-5, and we want five guys in this defensive zone, in the neutral zone, and in the offensive zone. It's all connected, and we believe that that's the way it has to be. And we made some adjustments in practice the other day. We talked about it. Those weren't the areas that hurt us. It was, you know, the shorthanded goal where we changed and we didn't track back hard. We kind of let up on that. And those things, you know, those are the things that we say, hey, that should never, ever happen. But it did happen and it hurt us and it was untimely. And, you know, the fourth goal right after we scored. I mean, those are, again, were situations where we had possession of the puck on the wall. We misplayed it. We left the zone. They came back in. And they took advantage of the situation. We can correct that as well. Those were goals that hurt us and, you know, put us in a situation where we were too far for us to come back. I mean, they're obviously a good team as well, but, you know, I thought that at that point a 2-2 game would have kept our get our legs going and got ourselves going a little bit. But, you know, their shots were down. We wanted to make sure that they weren't getting the 40 shots. Obviously, that's an area where we wanted to be. The chances, we didn't want to give up high numbers of chances, and giving up 12 against a team like that is going in the right direction.
Coach, it seemed like Phil Kessel, there's a lot of criticism aimed at Phil Kessel the last couple of days. How's he handling it in the room? Is he kind of wearing that criticism, feeling the weight of the world on him, that he's got something to prove?
You know, I think that you guys put a lot of pressure on the guys all the time. I mean, that's what you like to do. So they all know when they're in this environment that that's part of the goes with it. That's part of it. So, you know, they lose their cool sometimes, and you know we have to remind them that that's not the best way to handle it, and we have to move forward in a positive way. And you've got to you know internalize it with your teammates, and you've got to keep it inside so you can handle this and not let it affect you in a negative way. But you know he the next day I had a good talk with him after that, and. And I think that he seemed to be in a good frame of mind going into it.
Peter Horchak, the interim head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And what did you think about his first post-game press conference and how he broke down the game?
Oh, you know what? I mean, there are some things, obviously, that he addressed and felt that they had made some positive strides in. You know, against the Washington Capitals team, they only gave up 12 scoring chances. So, as he mentioned, some nights when they've given up 40 or more shots, the scoring chances were in the mid-20s, and so you've reduced that number by two. That was a positive. But he also then did say a couple of goals that were momentum killers. And, you know, prime example was Daniel Winnick in the second period. Ties the hockey game, and a minute and 31 later, shorthanded, the Eric Fair gives the momentum back to the Washington Capitals. They get a fluky goal to make it 3-1, but then Trevor Smith with his first goal of the season, and then 42 seconds later, towards the end of that second period, Marcus Johansson gets his second goal of the night, and those are the momentum killers. That gave the Capitals a two-goal lead as the second period came to a close. And let's face it, going into the third period in today's game, it's virtually impossible, I think, to come back from a two-goal deficit against a better-structured defensive team like the Washington Capitals, coached by Barry Trotz.
So 5-5-5. He kind of explained it. Explain it.
Well, 5-5-5. Let's start in the defensive zone. It is incumbent upon all five guys to be buying in without the puck, and you've got a responsibility. And again, guys like Kessel and Van Riemsdyk have got to learn to understand what it means to not be passive defensively and just be standing around. If you notice the Washington Capitals, Gord, they cut the ice in half defensively. Everybody's rotating. You're over on one side of the ice and almost outmanning the forecheckers or the offensive guys. I mean, it's really simple. Defensive hockey is not skill. It's a matter of will, and so that's something they're going to continue to work on. Through the neutral zone, same thing. Closing the gaps. Your defense have got to move up the ice as well as your forwards, and you're all forechecking through the neutral zone and owning that area of the ice. Again, a simple hockey, but yet everybody's consolidated together as a group, and certainly in the offensive zone. D have got to move up. Forwards have got to move in there. If your D are going to be really pressuring on the wall and pinching down, there's got to be support for them to do that. How often have we seen over the course of time ill-advised pinches, and yet the Leaf forwards in general are a little bit lazy in addressing that or even visually recognizing when your D is coming down the wall. We love to play a pressure game, and that was like so easy to keep your feet moving in the offensive zone, make sure you're backing up the defense. So those are some of the things 5-5-5 that Peter Horacek was talking about.
Now we'll take a look back as we close Leafs Nation pregame. You always give your keys to the game, and you hadn't been doing a very good job of late because Leafs hadn't been following through. But tonight, I'm curious some of what you think might have panned out.
Well, you know what? You know, first and foremost, my one key was resolve, compete, and will. The work ethic has to have been there, and I've got to give a I'm not sure I can give a passing grade. There were things that I think that they did do better defensively, but that was my second point. So the compete factor and some of the emotional part I thought was missing in the game, and I don't know, Daniel Winnick mentioned that they were a little bit uptight. They were tense. The crowd was very quiet. I think that added to the Maple Leafs' inability, I think, to project some form of emotion. I wanted them to play a patient defensive game. I think they did, you know. 26 shots against, 4 only in the first period. I think they get a passing grade as a starting point for that. And then the matchup versus Backstrom, Ovechkin. Ovechkin gets his 20th goal in an empty net. Backstrom, no points. That wasn't a line that cost against the Maple Leafs. It was Marcus Johansson and Eric Fehr that did the damage. So 2 out of 3, pretty good in a 6-2 defeat as far as what I felt were the keys for the game.
Interesting, Peter Horacek alluding to analytics a little bit, and I'm just wondering what you think that'll be the buzzword a bit. We know that Kyle
it's been a buzzword, and quite frankly, I'm getting a little bit weary of it because it really, you know, this the buzzwords of zone time and puck possession and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we can talk about it ad nauseum. And yet, as a fan and you watch the game, you know the team who's got the better legs that are jumping to the loose puck. If you're doing those types of things, chances are you do have the puck. I don't need to, you know, come down with some kind of a mathematical analogy of who has the puck. I can look at the end of the night, face-offs. That's pretty simple. You win the draw, you're going to hold on to the puck. So, anyways, you still got to play the game. No question you have to eliminate scoring chances. That hasn't changed since we were kids, right? Scoring chances, eliminate those dangerous areas. The compete factor, defensive hockey, is what it's all about at the end of the day.
And Peter Horacek did say you still have to play the game and compete. So, but it's interesting.
And things that happen on the ice that isn't about averages or mathematics. It's not like in baseball. And yet, I understand it. I even met a guy yesterday that's you know, part of the Leaf management team. I didn't even know that they had this guy doing some development, and they've selected some players in the minor leagues that they measure trends of what players are doing. And I'm like, holy smokes, like measuring what kind of trend. I'm turning to my left too many times in the course of a game. I should be turning right. But nonetheless, we'll learn about that. But goodness gracious, it still comes down to the compete factor and the passion and the drive for the game for me.
Okay, just back up a little bit
okay,
from the left
a little
turn
bit,
to the right
a little
turn.
Bit excited yeah. right now.
We'll take about one quick look at the out-of-town scoreboard. A few little things going on. Of course, brought to you by our friends at Bergmanis Pereira, Ontario's most referred lawyers. And what do you got?
Well, you know what? In Calgary, in the third period, about 12 and a half minutes to play, the Red Wings hold on to a 3-2 lead against the Flames. Scoring for the Calgary Flames, Mason Raymond, his sixth of the season, and Michael Backlund, his second. A shorthanded affair pulled the Flames within one. Scoring for the Red Wings, Riley Sheehan with his eighth, Henrik Zetterberg his tenth, and Justin Abdelkader has goal number 11. We're halfway through the game in Anaheim, scoreless between the Rangers and the Ducks, and your buddy the Briz, Ilya Brizgalov, returning to the Ducks and making his debut there. Some of the finals, we know it was 6-2 here against the Washington Capitals, the Caps on top. And in Pittsburgh, in overtime, the Bruins defeat the Pittsburgh Penguins 3-2. Patrice Bergeron, two goals on the night. Bo Bennett, Zdeno Chara was the other Bruins scorer for the Penguins. Bo Bennett, his second. And Evgeny Malkin, his 18th, tied it in the third period. But a big win for the Boston Bruins because it bumps the Maple Leafs out of the wild card position down to ninth in the Eastern Conference, Gord.
Well, and that's what we had been dreading. And the challenge there, there's still lots of games. There's lots of time to try to make it back there. Friday against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And, you know, really last year, not that we like to use comparables from last year because, again, the 18-wheeler went off the road for the third consecutive season. Granted, 2 years ago was just the Game 7 against Boston. But it was the games. Remember that against the Columbus Blue Jackets that
killed them?
They
lost three in a row.
Three in a row, played terribly.
You do the math, that's 6 points. Are you in the playoffs if you win two of those?
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's a team dreaded the dreaded Detroit Red Wings coming over were one thing, but the Columbus Blue Jackets was a team that a lot of people probably viewed as not going to be a threat for a number of years, and they certainly looked, boy, everyone, they were dead earlier this year. So many teams, the Buffalo Sabres were the first to do that, that looked dead and really got off the ropes and have been competitive. And the Blue Jackets were besieged by injuries. They still have a few, but they're playing a lot better.
Well, there's no question they are playing a lot better, Gord. And I'm just trying to see if Columbus, in fact, plays tomorrow night, which I'm not able to see if they are or they not. So the Leafs will not get a Blue Jacket team that is tired. But again, getting back to them, they have three games in hand on the Maple Leafs. They're one game over 500 and sit currently only 6 points back. So there you go. You're facing a team that's been better as of late. And the Blue Jackets, for whatever reason, the last number of years have given the Maple Leafs a bit of trouble.
And apparently they've flown into Toronto today. So the Blue Jackets, they're one of the teams that have a lot of people in the Ontario, in the Toronto area, we noticed as well. And
oh, you noticed that. I did notice that.
Last time Columbus was here, I did notice that. Maybe if you just look around a little bit and see the big crowd waiting for them, you would notice that. And that was one of the things I did notice. And certainly Tom Wilson, for example, the Washington Capitals, good North Toronto kid.
Did Sergei Bobrovsky buy a condo here in Toronto? just kind of wondering that.
Well, we will check. We'll check recent sales, and we'll see if Ozzie's tip is out there. There was actually a nice moment today. Ovechkin and Kuznetsov meeting with the Russian team that won the silver medal in the World Junior Championships, and the coaches were here and a number of things. So certainly that was a nice moment this morning, skate, and a nice moment tonight as a couple of Canadians were honored as well for the gold medal. We'll be back on the air Friday. Of course, Leafs taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. Not the result you wanted. A 6-2 win for the Washington Capitals over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.